The following podcast was made possible by the sponsorship of Teresa Leong Lee and by Catholic Digital Resources, where you can find downloadable faith formation resources and evangelization tools. Visit Catholic Digital Resources at CatholicDR.com to build your own faith and the faith of others. That's CatholicDR.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
And now we get to the final part of the Mass. We've participated in the Eucharistic liturgy. We have spent time after receiving communion in some prayer, meditation, singing, praise and worship with the congregation. And now the presider or the deacon gives a final blessing. But when you see that priest or that deacon get up to give the final blessing, remember this. It is not that man who is blessing us. There's no power behind a human being saying, bless you, to another human being, unless it is backed up by Christ, by God Himself. It is Jesus Himself who is blessing us. Through the holy orders of that presiding priest or that deacon, it is Jesus Himself, very much so, Jesus Himself blessing us, blessing you. There's different formulas that can be said here as the blessing. The one that really gives the message of what this final blessing is all about is when the priest or the deacon says, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. Go in peace. In other words, to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace to change the world. The Eucharist and all the parts of the Mass have made us able now to go forth from church to make the world a better place. We are now united to Jesus, and we continue the mission He started. That's what the concluding rite sets forth. That's what the concluding rite accomplishes. I shared earlier in this series on going deeper into the Mass that I discovered the truth about Jesus in the Eucharist, the bread and the wine becoming truly Jesus. I learned it when I was a young adult. I was 21 years old, and this brought me from Protestantism into the fullness of the Christian faith. You know, the Catholic Church holds the fullness of the Christian faith because it is the original church. It is the church that existed from when Jesus instituted it with his first apostles, and he told Peter to feed my sheep. And down through the centuries, it was that same church being passed down from generation to generation until division came into it. Protestantism came out of that division, but Protestantism was founded on Catholicism. When I discovered the truth of this, when I discovered what the communion service is really supposed to be providing for us, I wanted the fullness of it. I wanted all that God could give me. And that meant, that included, that required even, all the teachings of the Catholic Church. Now, my Protestant background taught me very well to distrust any Catholic teaching that I was not taught within Protestantism. So, in order for me to fully enter into the Eucharistic liturgy, I needed to test the teachings of the church, the Catholic Church. I needed to study them. I needed to research them. I needed to find out why it was good to believe these things that I had been told was bad to believe. And as soon as I began to understand the bigger picture of Catholic teachings and how all the Catholic teachings are based and founded in Scripture for the sake of love, for the sake of helping us to be holy and helping us to receive more of the love of God and to be more loving, that's when I became fully Catholic. And what happened next? I became involved in parish ministries. This is an example of what happens in the Mass. We enter into Mass and shed everything that is of the devil, everything that is not true, everything that is not holy, and we become more fully united to Christ and to the whole church that Christ founded, and to the whole Trinity of God. We become united to each other. You know, it's all this union that's taking place. And then what? At the end, what's it for? Earlier in this series, I described the liturgy of the Eucharist as a pregnancy. Now, at the end of Mass, after receiving Jesus and becoming one with Him and with the whole church, Jesus is born again. The pregnancy comes to completion. But, like every end of a pregnancy that results in a birth, it's really just a beginning. What do you think is the high point of the Mass? What is the high point for you? Is it when you received forgiveness in the penitential rite? Is it when you received Jesus in the Eucharist? Or is it the final blessing of the Mass? And I don't mean the final blessing's a high point because you go, yay, Mass is over, now I can go home and have dinner, now I can go out and play, now I can go and do my own thing, get my chores done, or whatever. I think that's the way many of us have at some point in time felt like that's what the final blessing was all about. In truth, in the final blessing, Jesus and the priest or deacon blesses us so that we can go out the door and be successful in continuing to live the life of Christ, remaining in unity with Him. Of course, we're going to fail, and that is why we have the sacrament of confession available to us. The sacrament of confession restores our unity with Christ. But why? Why is it so important to retain unity with Christ? Is it so that we get to heaven? Well, that's a selfish motive. Everything that happened during Mass is intended not only for our benefit, but for the sake of others, our family, our friends, our co-workers, and in fact, everyone we meet, and even those we don't meet, whose lives we can improve in some way. This is the way of Christ. Every blessing that God gives to us is meant to be shared. Every good is meant for the common good. And this includes what happens to us at Mass. Every hardship we go through is meant to be turned into blessings that strengthen us and eventually serve others. For example, who do you know who is going through a trial that's similar to an experience you have had? What did you learn from your trial? How did Jesus help you through it? With that, you can now minister to that person thanks to what you learned, thanks to what Jesus did in your life. You can now help others who are going through similar hardships. And then your hardships become an even bigger blessing to you as well as to the kingdom of God. God calls us to turn hardships into blessings. This is how we achieve victories over what is bad. But everything good we experience is meant to become a common good, a blessing that is shared with others. Every benefit you have received from going to Mass becomes a good that is meant for others. For yourself first, yes, because we cannot give to others what we do not receive. But it's God's way to never keep anything to ourselves. Let's switch gears a little bit from thinking about the Mass as and the liturgy of the Eucharist as a pregnancy. And let's think of the Mass as a sort of wedding ceremony. In fact, we call the liturgy of the Eucharist a wedding banquet. Scripture, it has a lot of references to the wedding and union with Christ as a wedding ceremony. Going to Mass is going to a wedding in which we are marrying Jesus. Marriage is a union. And every part of the Mass is either preparation for or the culmination of entering into union with Christ. Just like a wedding. Consider the Mass like a renewal of wedding vows. Every Mass is a recommitment of our faithfulness to Christ and a renewal of our openness to His commitment to us. But, like every wedding, the wedding day is not the most important day. More important is the marriage that follows. If the wedding is beautiful but the marriage is not, the wedding is considered by the Church as invalid. In other words, if we unite ourselves to our new spouse in a wedding ceremony but do not intend to stay united, if we do not take seriously our commitment to be faithful to our spouse, then the vows we make during that wedding ceremony are false, and therefore the marriage is not valid. It's the same way with the Holy Mass. If we attend Mass without a true commitment to be changed by it, without a true desire to become united to Jesus and stay faithfully united to Jesus, what's the point of going to Mass? Yes, there's always the possibility of a benefit, even if we're not intending it to be so. Even if we're not consciously participating in the Mass. Even if we're going just because we're afraid of going to hell if we don't. Or because it's the thing to do. It's the habit, you know, and you know, we were trained to go to Mass, you know, no matter what. If it's just a ritual in the sense of a duty, and we are not fully entering into what it's all about, we should still go to Mass regardless of our readiness to become one with Christ. Because who knows what Jesus is going to do with that? Who knows what the Holy Spirit might do with us being there in church? But really, if we don't intend to use the Mass as a reuniting with Jesus, a renewal of our vows to Jesus, our renewal of our faithfulness to Jesus and the Christian way, we are missing the point. It's as if we didn't even go to Mass. Just like in a wedding, we should leave church empowered to live the sacrament in our daily life and in every moment of our day. And just like any marriage, the union of the two spouses is not just for the sake of the spouses. That would be selfish. Marriage is based on love, and true love moves outward. True love grows and becomes love for more people than just our spouse. It produces love for others, usually first by giving life to children. Marriage also is meant to change the world. The sacrament of marriage means that Jesus is part of the marriage. In a very real way, just as Jesus is present in that form of bread and wine in a very real way at Mass, in the sacrament of marriage, Jesus is very real. His presence is true in our relationship with our spouse. And as such, that marriage is meant to be a reflection of God's love that the world can see and recognize. We who are married are to be witnesses to the world of what God's love and faithfulness is like. When in a marriage adultery happens, unfaithfulness, including the adultery of looking at another woman lustfully, and that includes pornography, which is unfortunately has snuck into many, many good marriages, another one of Satan's ways to destroy and divide what God brought together. Our faithfulness to our spouse is not just for the benefit of that spouse. It's for the benefit of the world because we are a witness of what God's faithfulness is like. Our marriage is a witness of how God loves each and every person who we encounter. But it's not easy. It doesn't come naturally for us. And this is why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave the Holy Spirit to all of us who've been baptized. In our baptism, we receive the fullness of Jesus Christ and his salvation, the fullness of God the Father who created us, who designed us, who longs to spend eternity with us. And we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we can be holy, so that we can receive God's divine power to remain holy. And we go forth from Mass with the Holy Spirit, because when we are united to Jesus, we are also united to his Spirit. When we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, we are receiving his Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who enables us to remain holy after receiving Holy Communion. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to go out and change the world by being Jesus, the Jesus we received in the Eucharist and who is now fully in us. It is the Holy Spirit who helps us keep Jesus fully in us. It is the Holy Spirit who tells us what to say and how to say it, to help others experience Jesus in us. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us the wisdom and knowledge of when to act and how to act so that Jesus can change the world through us. It is the Holy Spirit who helps us understand God's overarching plans for our lives and how we can make a difference in this world, how we can change the world by bringing the kingdom of God more fully into it. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us become aware of the gifts and talents we have, the passions and interests we have that God has placed in us, has increased in us, has developed in us, so that we can do what no one else can do to make the world a better place and to bring his kingdom more fully onto the earth. It is the Holy Spirit who makes all of this clear. But this going forth from Mass with the Holy Spirit requires having a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's more than just receiving the Holy Spirit in our baptism, the baptism of water. We can live our entire lives with the fullness of God available to us thanks to our baptism and never experience that fullness. Because just like we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ for him to be our Savior so that we can get to heaven, we also need a personal relationship with his Holy Spirit so that we can grow in holiness and resist temptation and be Jesus in the world. And to have that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, we need to activate it. This is what in the charismatic renewal they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's an anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's a asking the Holy Spirit to fill us, renew us. You know that prayer that the church has given to us, come Holy Spirit and renew the face of the earth. This is asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to change us, to fill us so that we can be doing what Jesus is doing or wants to do through us to make the world a better place. Karl Rahner, who is considered to be one of the most influential Roman Catholic theologians of the 20th century, prophesied that, quote, the Christian of the future will be a mystic or he will not exist at all, end quote. What is a mystic? We tend to think of mystics as very special people who have been given a lot of supernatural graces so that they experience God in a unique way that is not available to everybody. You know, a mystic has visions. A mystic you know, even levitates when they pray, because their soul is lifting their body. Their soul, which is rising to heaven as they are in union with God, you know, brings their body along. That's not us. You know, we're not levitating when we're praying, but that's wrong thinking. That's exactly what the devil wants us to think. We are all mystics. We just don't realize it. All of us who have Jesus as our Redeemer are mystics. But to live the mystical life, we need to have an alive, active relationship with the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit who gives us visions. It is the Holy Spirit who lifts us up in prayer so that we are levitating. It is the Holy Spirit whom Jesus has given to us so that we could be Jesus in the world. And wasn't Jesus the greatest mystic who ever lived? In our union with Jesus, we are mystics. A Christian who is truly and fully alive in the faith is a mystic. We are called, we're supposed to, being Jesus in the world in such a way that they recognize that something supernatural is here, that something divine is really here, that God is real, that God is who he says he is, because the supernatural is happening. Our words about the truth of the faith must be backed up by the divine graces that come alive, that become evidence through the supernatural happening. Jesus was not just human when he came to earth. He was divine. We who have Jesus fully in us are not just human anymore. We don't just have the human Jesus in us. We have the divine Jesus in us. And in today's world, which is so full of evil, so full of disobedience to the ways of Christ, and so full of the idolatry of moral relativism, in which people make themselves into little gods by deciding for themselves what is right and what is good and what is wrong and what is evil. In today's world, so full of evil, we need every Christian to be a mystic. And as we see the world around us, you know, observe, pay attention. You know, the world around us, we know, is becoming more and more evil all the time. Karl Rahner's prophecy is beginning to come true. Many good Catholics are becoming more like the world than like Christ. Many good Catholics, because they do not have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, are succumbing to the lies of the devil, are succumbing to the slippery slope of sin, because it's so pervasive in the worldly culture where they live and work and where they attend school, and all the influences around them are leading them astray. There are more good Catholics who are falling into the ways of the world and leaving the church than there are new people coming into the church, turning away from the ways of the world. A friend recently told me that she used to be the type of Catholic who, quote, lived with one foot in the world and one foot on a banana peel. I love that description of it. Many, many people are living this way. But we cannot straddle the fence forever. Living partly in the world and partly in the church, the kingdom of God. Sooner or later, the fence becomes very uncomfortable. It's a very difficult seat. It's a very uncomfortable seat. And unless we are solidly and completely grounded in the church, it's just a slippery banana peel that we're standing on over there in the kingdom of God's side of the fence. And it's much easier to slip away from the church than it is to slip away from the world into the church. In fact, I would say that it's impossible to slip away from the world. There literally are demons who are trying to pull us away from the church, trying to pull us off the fence to be fully on the worldly side. It takes more effort to stay holy than it does to fall back into sin. And this is why Jesus gave us his Holy Spirit. On our own efforts, we cannot succeed. On our own efforts, it is so much easier to give in to temptation. It is so much easier to think that something bad is something good because we want it to be good. It is so much easier to forget that sin is sin. It is so much easier to rationalize that the sin we are committing is not really a sin. Oh, God understands. Then eventually, we don't even think about or wonder whether God understands or not. It doesn't matter to us. We understand it. That's all that matters to us. Jesus gave us his Holy Spirit to keep us safe from the lies of the world and to keep us safely and securely in the kingdom of God so that we do get to heaven. That's why we need a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need to know the Holy Spirit on a very personal level where we can ask the Holy Spirit, help me understand this. You know, we can even ask the Holy Spirit to help us want to do what is good when our minds are telling us that we don't want to do it. For example, many years ago, I heard someone teach in a Bible study course that obeying God means we also obey the laws of the land. But I liked to speed down the highway. The law of the land said the speed limit was 55 miles an hour on a highway that was relatively free of traffic. And I just, you know, it was an open road ahead of me. And I just wanted to zoom along at 65 miles an hour or 75 miles an hour. I mean, it was safe to do so. Why should I obey the speed limit? So I rationalized that obeying the laws of the land was not disobeying God. But the Holy Spirit, because I did have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, and I had a prayer life in which the Holy Spirit could speak to me, and I could hear him because of that personal relationship, that friendship, that the union that comes from going to Mass. The Holy Spirit said to me, and I heard him, you need my help because you see this as okay when it really isn't okay. You are doing an act of disobedience. So I said, okay, logically, I don't think it's wrong to speed down a highway where it's a straight and safe and not very much traffic on it road. But if it is wrong for me to break the law, this particular law at this particular time, when everything seems to be fine and safe, if it's wrong for me to do that, then Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me. And just like that, I suddenly wanted to obey the speed limit. And I'm going, oh, gee, well, I would say, gee, isn't that disappointing? Now I have to obey the speed limit. No, I wanted to obey the speed limit. And I had to laugh at myself for the change that happened. And that's why I always end these podcasts with the prayer of the Holy Spirit, inviting you to pray, come Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me. And by the way, to help you in your personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, you can find on the Good News Ministries website 3 series about the Holy Spirit. How to hear the Holy Spirit, living in the power of the Holy Spirit, and praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. These series are also available by podcast through the other Good News Ministries podcast show called The Good News Show. And you can find this on breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media is who publishes our podcasts. And you can find The Good News Show on many other podcast apps. And now let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Come, Holy Spirit, I want a personal relationship with you. Come, Holy Spirit, increase in me that personal relationship between the two of us, that loving, fun, insightful, enlightening, holy relationship between you and me. Come, Holy Spirit, help me to be the holy person that God the Father is calling me to be and Christ empowered me to be through the sacrament of the Eucharist. Come, Holy Spirit, when I leave Mass, every time I leave Mass, and the next time especially, anoint me to live the way I am called and empowered to live through the Eucharist. Come, Holy Spirit, help me to be Jesus in the world. Come, Holy Spirit, help me to share the blessings that I received in Mass with others. Come, Holy Spirit, help me to bring other people to Mass who have not been going to Mass. Come, Holy Spirit, show me how to do this. Give me the words. Give me the opportunities. Come, Holy Spirit, renew my life. Come, Holy Spirit, renew my relationship with you. Come, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me. Amen. This podcast was made possible by supporters of Good News Ministries who hope to strengthen and build your faith. If this episode speaks to your heart, then I ask you to pass it along to your family and friends. Share it on Facebook and Twitter. Forward it by text and email. And let us know what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. How has this episode made a difference? You can contact me through the Good News Ministries website at gnm.org or by texting me if you are one of our subscribers on WhatsApp. May I ask a favor of you? Please cover this life-changing podcast ministry in your daily prayers. And if you can, help me continue making these podcasts by becoming a sponsor. Any donation is helpful, but we are especially seeking sponsors for upcoming episodes.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.